Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Fun. That's what I call hour one today. Chuck Oliver Show. We were talking college football, but you already knew that because that's kind of the answer every day. The different part was we were talking Vols football with Eric Kane from the Sports Animal up there in Knoxville, and appreciate him coming on. We were talking about some players in the transfer portal and where they may land. Busy first hour coming up in about 10. Bob Redman's going to be here from 24/7 talking Gators. Bottom of the hour, good friend of ours, Aaron Suttles. Been a minute since we had Aaron on from The Athletic. Always love talking Bama with him, and so we will talk Bama in college football and the SEC with Aaron Suttles. But that's at the bottom of the hour. Right now it's the top of the hour, and it's me giving you getting you up to date with CFB 365.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by EcoDerm. Text EcoDerm to 31996 now for your free sample of EcoDerm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, Trevor Lawrence works out for pros. That's for pro scouts, NFL teams. Trevor Lawrence earlier today had his pro day. He is about to have a procedure, and he said, well, I want to have my workout before the procedure so that I can then get healed, and hopefully I can do something for you after the procedure. But he says, just quote, he worked out for 45 minutes at Clemson earlier today. It was on the ACC network. It was TV inventory. Quote, the original plan was to have 2 months training out in California, then come back March 11th and put on a show and do all that, but life happens sometimes. Just having to adjust and showing I'm able to adjust and adapt, still willing to come out here and throw, give teams a chance to see me. It was important to me, important to my team to make sure we made that happen. So good for him. He says, you know, it wasn't necessarily the ideal situation, but he moved it up because he's going to undergo surgery on his left shoulder, obviously his non-throwing shoulder, and wanted to be completely ready before camp starts in July. And he said, if I try to take care of me and look my best and wait another 2 months or so for all this, he says, I'll miss time. He says, nah, team's going to take me wherever it is. It's going to be first overall. Team's going to take me wherever it is. I want them to have access from day one. So he says, I'm going to have the surgery. I just move things up. And it does show willingness. And he looked like Trevor Lawrence, too. So there's that. Headline, Big 12 releases 2021 football schedule. All right, that's not entirely true. And that's what the headline says. But the Big 12, last night, I think, or yesterday afternoon, they did release their 2021 conference schedule. The full slate of the Big 12 programs, including non-conference games, it's February 12th. That'll be released later, and that'll be fine. But we have dates. We don't have times. We have dates. And we have matchups. First Big 12 game of the year, Baylor at Kansas, Saturday, September 18th. So, all right, well, we got non-conference before that then. You got Steve Sarkisian, his first conference game, Texas Tech in Austin the following Saturday, the 25th. And then, of course, on Saturday, October 9th, Oklahoma versus Texas. That's in Dallas. Is that still at the actual Cotton Bowl Stadium?
It is right there at the State Fairgrounds, yes.
Have you been in that stadium?
I have been inside that stadium.
It is storied, and I like the appearance. It is a nice-looking joint from the outside. You get the history. What'd my mom say? My mom would say, don't say anything right now, Chuck.
The bones are a little creaky.
Yeah, just don't say anything, Chuck. So I will leave it. But they will play in Dallas, across the street from the State Fair. So get you some the corny dog and the giant leg and the cotton candy and all of that, and then go over and watch some pretty good football, I believe. All right, wrap it up. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a quick break. Come back, talk more college football next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Normally, when I say, hey, let's talk about the schedule, then it's something like, for instance, I told you that I think it was maybe Wednesday night or last night, maybe the Big 12 released their conference slate. Let's talk about the schedule. Who's the first game of the year? Oh, September 4th, like September 4th in, 7 months. With our next guest, I actually want to talk about the Florida schedule from 2031, because as currently constructed, it's an 8-game SEC slate, and who knows what they'll be doing in 31, but 8-game SEC slate plus Texas, Arizona State, Notre Dame, and FSU. Now, personally, me, rock on, Florida. Play them all. But I think that there will probably be some maneuvering and wrangling. And Lord, just when you're talking about games that are a decade out, you got plenty of time for maneuvering and wrangling. But I want to welcome on now from 24/7 Sports. It is Bob Redmond. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chuck. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate you coming on today, man. Talk about that 2031 Florida non-conference slate. It is ambitious with the announcement of the Notre Dame series.
Yeah, I mean, who knows who's even going to be around at that point. So, you're making a schedule for probably everybody else that isn't going to be here. So, I think Scott Strickland and even Jeremy Foley before he left, they really started to get ambitious with the schedule, and you don't get too much more ambitious than that. So it's I think the fans love it, of course, and they're always talking about it. Why play the directional schools? And we know why they do it, but fans don't want to see that, and TV certainly likes it. So I think, outside of the fact that it's going to be brutal as far as week in and week out, I think everybody else is going to like it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a fan, man, so I love it. Let's talk a little bit of some house cleaning, some accounting first. If we look at the Florida 2021 signing class, whether it's high school, JUCO, transfers, whatever, are they done now? Is this full, or is there still one high school kid still out there maybe?
No, they're done with the high school ranks. They're trying to add one more in the portal if they can get it. Henry To'oto is a guy they really wanted. And if there's a big offensive lineman, offensive tackle that comes open before that, then they will go in that direction. But, you know, because I think some guys will go through spring ball, I think, at some schools, and maybe there's a new offensive line coach or something doesn't work out, and somebody might open up. But that's the only thing I think they would take a look at. But they're done high school-wise.
Well, let's talk about the defense then. If the schedule may be by and large – excuse me, the roster may by and large be what it's going to be entering spring and then maybe August, and Lord knows with the portal, that's a dice roll, but let's just assume that. I want to ask you, what happened in 2020 on defense? Because in 2019, that was a top 10 overall defense, and then last year it was as bad as I remember seeing Florida play on a consistent week-to-week basis. But what I want to ask you, is there anything that we don't know? Were there particularly bad weeks for the virus? Was it maybe coming back? It wasn't as easy as we thought from the – like, is there any context to this beyond, no, they didn't play well?
No, I think there was a couple of issues. You know, they had a couple – the two previous years, they had – all SEC defensive ends that were getting after the quarterback. And this past year, they really didn't have that. They had solid guys, Brenton Cox and Zachary Carter up front. That I should say a little bit more than solid, but they weren't those premier guys. And I think those guys covered up the issues in the back end a lot. So, you know, I think it's weird because they had four-year players in the backfield, in the defensive backfield, and they were just horrible. And the problem was, Chuck, they got worse every year. And that just didn't make a whole lot. And I shouldn't say they got worse every year. They certainly dropped off a lot this past year in the secondary. And it was the same coaches from the year before. There was one coaching change, you know, from 2018. But I think with Gransom's you know, attack style of defense, you know, you got to have a secondary that can really do it. And I think those front guys really covered it up, you know, some of the issues that they were probably having in the backfield, and it all caught up to them this past year. They were bad. They were just bad. And they were seniors all, you know, and had played, you know, started for 3 years, most of them. So it was a real enigma for everybody to watch. But I think most of it came down to play up front.
Let's talk about some of those recruits from maybe just the past couple of classes or so. What about a guy like Chris Bogle? What do you think he is as a ball player?
You know, I think he's really good. I think he probably can still keep adding a little weight, and I'm sure he's going to do that as he grows. But I think he can be a special player off the edge. I do. He's had some big time plays and in big time games, and a guy I think that will continue to do that. But I think his big thing right now is just continuing to put on muscle and strength.
Wow, you may say the exact same thing about this next guy because he looks taller and he looks thick. What about Diabate at linebacker or edge over there? Good looking ball player, but again, could add some pounds.
I agree, but you know the thing about him is he can really run, and the more weight you put on, you're likely to slow down. But the great thing about him is that he's extremely smart, and he's a guy that knows where he's supposed to be, and because he's fast, he can get there sooner than most people, you know, do it. So I agree, he needs to add some weight. But I think, and that's probably the maturity thing is the big thing for him. But his intelligence on the field is something that kind of separates him, and I think he's going to start really separating himself.
What about Kyrie Elam? Because that's a kid now from two classes ago, and, I mean, that looks like a Sunday guy to me.
Yeah, and, you know, he didn't have the great year this past year either, but certainly was the best of the group back there in what was expected. That was the other thing I meant to mention is that you had all those seniors, and then you had an all-SEC guy, preseason all-SEC guy in Elam back there, and you still struggle. But Elam's a real talent. He's going to be gone after this year. He's going to head off to the NFL for sure. And you know, he's an all-SEC guy. He just I think if they get better play up front, he'll play better too.
And that was another thing. This is a guy that I've asked you about before, I think a couple of times during the season, but Dexter up front, and a true freshman playing on the interior in the SEC is always difficult. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But with whether it was injuries maybe earlier in the season or what, or maybe just the kid's talent, he was on the field a lot for a guy in the SEC. What does Florida think they have in him?
Yeah, I think they think something special, and I think they knew that they needed to get him out there and get him reps. You know, he only played 2 years of football before he came to Florida, so he's really young as far as football goes. And then you throw him out there as a true freshman. He's got extreme size. He's up now to 312 pounds. I think he played around 280 in high school. So he's added a lot of weight in his first year in school. And he's a guy that, he was a big basketball player. So he's extremely athletic and can do things. In high school, he just dominated people from his athleticism. And, he can't really do that in the SEC. But that athleticism is there. And once he learns the technique, which he's learning and he's going, he's going to be really good. He should start this year, and I think do a little bit better. He really statistically, he didn't do a whole lot this past year, but I think there were times when he probably made a difference when people weren't really seeing it.
If you talked about either a freshman or maybe a transfer, and I'm talking about DeJuan Black and Collier there in the secondary, what about some true freshmen or some new to the program kids, again, coming out of community college that may have roles this year beyond what maybe they would expect?
Yeah, are you including the transfer portal? Oh, expect. Okay, so let's see. I'll say, DeJuan Black is a guy. Now, he's a guy that didn't make it in. They hoped he would be in the spring, but still is one class short of getting it done. And, he's a guy that was way behind it scholastically when he came out of high school. So that's always going to be a little bit of a worry, but certainly there's that. And then Collar, yeah, sure. And then Jason Marshall, the five-star corner. I think he's got to get on the field as well. They had a couple of true freshman corners this past year that were highly rated that really saw little time because of injuries. Both of them were injured. So I think you'll see some depth all of a sudden at cornerback that they didn't have this past year, and that may help some things. But Collier for sure is safety because all those safeties are gone now. And then the three young guys that played a lot last year actually should make big strides this coming season.
All right, Bob, last thing I want to ask you, we've talked about Ty Grantham before, and I said I think he's a good coach. I mean, Lord, the head coaches that hire him, I mean, it's an endorsement to me. Just real quick, we got about a minute left. Just tell me, is there any what's the temperature for Todd Grantham right now, for instance, with Dan Mullen in the program?
I think with Mullen, it's fine. I think if you're asking about the fans, it's a whole different story. They some were apoplectic that he's still around, honestly. So I'm with you on this. I'm like, there's a reason he keeps getting hired. There's a reason he's got the resume he's got. And, I don't chalk up a bad season like they had this year on defense when, he had a top 10 defense last year. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think they need to get – he needs to get better play up front, especially really from his position that he coaches, the buck position. They have a lot of guys.
Yeah, the money spot.
A lot of guys. Yeah, and I mean, that's for him, and it's really that position that creates a lot of turmoil on the defensive side for the offense, and it's got to play well, and it just didn't really get it this past year. So he's the coach of that position. They've got a lot of quality athletes there at that spot, and I think that if he gets that out of it this year, things will change drastically. I also think last year was some crazy year on defense. Alabama's defense struggled for most of the season, and then they came on, of course, late. But it was a weird year defensively in the SEC, especially.
It really was. And like I said, fans, though, well, wait a minute. We go up 38, fire the guy. And I get it sometimes when it happens Saturday after Saturday. Bob, appreciate your time, man. Thank you for coming on today.
All right, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bob Redmond, always glad when he has time there. But it's one of those contradictions. Like, I know what I know. But it is about results. It is about what you produce. And so at some point, everybody gets reviewed.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Sir Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks, 2 hours every day. So thank you all for making this possible. Been doing it for about 6.5 years now. I am both live on the air and with my cell phone. I'm now 9 for 9 getting folks who are supposed to know stuff. 9 for 9 in where Henry Toutou is going to land. And when we were talking to Bob Redmond from 24/7, he sort of referred to it. And so I'm going to say we're 9.5 for 9.5 because he said, yeah, we got one more scholarship. And he was – Mullen was after Henry Toutou. Doesn't look like that's going to – I'm going to say that's 9.5, 9.5. Our next guest, I think he's going to get us over the top here from The Athletic, covers Alabama there. Also, all college football, SEC, et cetera. It is Aaron Suttles. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm fine, Chuck. How are you?
Doing all right. Where's Henry Toutou going to transfer?
If I had to place a wager, it'd be hard to see him anywhere than Alabama. You know, he really came down to Alabama, Tennessee, and I think Jeremy Pruitt had just a great relationship with Henry and his family. And when Jeremy took that job at Tennessee, it was a good fit for him. But Alabama was really close in that thing. The thing that would prevent Alabama from doing it, one is they need some assurance from the NCAA that, you know, he'll be immediately eligible from the NCAA and from the SEC. And then two, just scholarship numbers. I mean, Alabama is real tight on numbers, and but they usually, if they find a player they really want, they'll find a way to make it work.
That's usually how it is. Roster management, I believe, is the phrase. That wasn't that evil like 5-6 years ago, and now it's one of the most valuable traits you can have. Like, everybody crapped all over Saban for a decade about roster management. He doesn't care. Now if you don't manage it effectively, you're cooked.
It's funny how these narratives shift and change over the years, Chuck. I mean, the biggest players or the biggest voices that you hear in the sport always talk about what they want. The best for the player, they want them to be paid, and I have no problem with that. But they always say they want what's best for the player, and then I start reading stories in the offseason about limiting scholarships to programs, which would – is that good for players? Is that good when it trickles down? I mean, the Alabamas and Georgias are still going to get the guys they want, and those kids will still get opportunities. But is the trickle-down effects, if you limit scholarship opportunities at the bottom of – at the end of the day, there are 1,000 kids that don't get a free education anymore. That didn't really seem like – you're for the kids when I read stuff like that. So, yeah, it just shifts. Just depends on what the media wants to make the hot story that day.
Yeah, I decided, I talked about this a few years ago, that I finally realized that whenever I hear coaches, whether it's the transfer portal or name, image, likeness or anything else, when it's for the stipends, for the kids, that means it's actually for the coaches and the programs.
Absolutely.
All right, Will Anderson, was he really a freshman last year? Because that's not what a freshman is supposed to do in the SEC. Talk about him. What's the blue sky for him?
He's incredible. You know, in advanced metrics, he led the country in pressures last year. You know, he really turned it on, and you know, about midway through the season, and actually got the quarterback on the ground. But just in terms of disruption, you know, they were calling in that guy over there the Predator, the Terminator. They couldn't block him. I mean, you can't run a play in Alabama's practice because he's back there and he's so disruptive. He was just like that as soon as he stepped on campus. You were hearing stories that, okay, this is the next dude for Alabama, and he really lived up to it. I mean, to come in and play as a freshman is difficult to do. To do so at Jack linebacker, to be mature enough physically to be able to play Jack linebacker in the SEC in an all SEC schedule. I mean, 13 games against SEC and Power 5 opponents as a freshman. That kid was really, really good, and his future is very bright.
All right, so Christian Harris is just he looks like an old-school thumper to me. Christopher Allen, whatever. You got a bunch of good linebackers. I think if Henry To'oto'o transfers to Alabama, and now you're 10.5 out of 10.5, if To'oto'o transfers to Alabama, I think he's the best linebacker on the roster.
I do, too. And I think, and I wrote this in The Athletic today, I've made sort of 10 predictions for the 2021 season that if he comes, they're the best linebacking corps in the country, in the SEC in the country with him. Because you mentioned, we talked about Will Anderson, and Christopher Allen really came into his own last year at the end of the season. And then you got Christopher Harris, who's a two-year starter going into his junior year. You're loaded at linebacker. And then they've brought some other guys, I think some edge pressure guys, like a Drew Sanders, who didn't get to play much last year. They're loaded at linebacker, but their starters would be elite.
Talk some Brian Branch and some Malachi Moore.
Yeah, Brian Branch was Georgia kid. Everybody over there knows him. He was the talk, really, before fall camp. Just in summer workouts and all that, you started hearing how bright he was, how natural he was, how the game kind of came to him and he knew it. And he was the one we all thought, going into fall camp, he's going to be your star. He's going to be your star defensive back. And then they get in fall camp, and it's Malachi Moore. And, Chuck, not many people know this. Alvin almost dropped Malachi Moore. I mean, he didn't get to enroll early last year like they thought. And it was one of those things we talk about roster management. He almost got roster management just because they didn't pull it. He still had the scholarship offer. But the kid graduated high school early, and then they had no room for him. And they had no room for him because, you know, Alex Leatherwood, Najee Harris, some of those guys came back to school and limited those scholarships. But if that was a player they really wanted, they wouldn't have told him he couldn't come early. And then you get to fall camp, and he becomes the star defensive back. So Alabama almost really messed up with Malachi Moore in terms of roster management. But, you know, Brian Branch with the money, he may move to safety this year. They got two really, really good defensive backs, and both are going to be sophomores this year.
Yes, they do. And I was actually part of a mock draft a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, second round Josh Jobe. And I was like, no, wait a minute, he still plays college. so, yeah, there's talent back there. All right, what do you know about Bryce Young? Because I'll be honest, I watch some stuff on YouTube and Huddle and, you know, wherever else. I don't know anything about Bryce Young as a college quarterback.
We don't. He had that unbelievable pass against Kentucky, and he had one up the sideline to Devontae Smith. But just because of the way the schedule was, it was an all-SEC schedule. We didn't really get to see him in a lot of games. And when they did put him in, I'll give it to the coach staff. They were trying to develop him. They left the first-team offensive line in. They left a couple of those receivers in for him to play. But I'm with you. I just haven't seen enough. His size a little bit is a concern to me, because he's not Mac Jones. He's not a traditional, 6'2", 6'5", quarterback. He's a little smaller. But in terms of skill set, what he did in college, I think it's a natural fit. The curious thing to me is he really ended up at Alabama because of Steve Sarkisian. Sarkisian's son played on Bryce Young's high school team. And he sort of fit what Steve Sarkisian did offensively. I'm curious to see, Bill O'Brien's a bright offensive mind. You don't get to coach in the NFL without – and in a Power 5 conference like Penn State, if you don't know what you're doing. I'm just curious to see – Sark was elite at play calling. I'm curious to see how Bill O'Brien's philosophy meshes with Bryce Young's skill set.
All right, before I let you run, let's talk up front. And, you know, Nick Saban's not just the number one class in America. It's Nick Saban's number one class ever. And the top two recruits in his greatest class ever are both offensive tackles. It's just not real. Like Cyrus Kwanjo, that wasn't real. Cam Robinson, you know, who? That's not what happens in the SEC. Hey, 18-year-old, go be an All-American at left tackle. But it is true at Alabama. And I'll say the only thing Leatherwood did is he threw off the calendar by staying a fourth year.
He really did. And, you know, they've had, you know, Jonah Williams come in, and yep. Evan Neal played guard for a year. He played right tackle. We think Evan Neal's going to move to left tackle.
I didn't even say Andre Smith.
Which would open up a starting position at right tackle for either J.C. Latham or Tommy Brockermeyer, both the top two tackles in this year's class. It's been done at Alabama. They've found a way to make it work. Obviously, both of those guys are already enrolled, so they'll get to go through spring practice, which will help them. I think in the SEC, it all comes down to footwork. And if you got good enough footwork and you're there physically, you got a chance to play, and Alabama's proven that, and they're expecting one of those two guys to be the right tackle this year.
And despite everything else, I just one more question about the offensive line there, because, I mean, you're talking about the number one player in the state of Florida and the number one player in the state of Texas both being offensive tackles. That's not easy for a tackle to do that in those two states. And I asked this sort of – you know, to be funny a little bit on signing day, but not really. And Aaron, I mean, flesh this out for me. I don't want to talk about the guys, you know, Latham and Brockermeyer and all that. I want to know an offensive lineman who was offered a real committable scholarship to Alabama. Why doesn't he go? Because you can't even say legacy, because Brockermeyer's a Texas legacy.
That's right. And I talked to Brockermeyer's dad, and he talked specifically about the Texas legacy, and he said, listen, in the last 10 years, Texas has had one offensive lineman drafted. Not in the first round. Drafted. He said, if you go to Alabama as a tackle and you're highly rated, you get drafted in the first round. You, every left tackle they've had, I think going back to – we have to go back a ways, maybe early in the 2010s. Every left tackle they've had has been drafted. And most of them go in the first round. And I know Cam slipped to the second round, but I think it's just the way that they – develop their players. And the Texas legacy would have loved to go to Texas. His whole family's Texas. But you can't argue with track record, especially at offensive tackle. Alabama puts guys in the league.
Who is going to be Alabama's best defensive lineman?
Man, I love Timothy Smith. Kid from Florida in the 2020 class. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a ton of snaps last year, but if you watch late in the season, I think he's better than DJ Dale, who Alabama has pregnant nose. But DJ Dale's had some knee issues, and he didn't play in the 2019 Iron Bowl. He missed most of that stretch run there. But he's not fully recovered from those knee injuries he had. But Timothy Smith's going to be the guy that I think in a couple of years most people will know his name.
All right, man. It's always great information, brother. Good stuff there from everybody, by the way. What y'all do on college football at the Athletic, man, it is A+. I honestly pay to join a total of three sites, and that is one of them. So just tell everybody, Seth and everybody up there, just do a great job, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Chuck. Have a great day.
All right, Aaron Suttles again from the Athletic. Yeah, I pay for that, and I pay for Landry. And then there's an NFL draft site that has it's Nerd Central, folks. But it is a serious drill down sort of site with all 22 film and all that. And those are the only three I pay for. And the Athletic is just really good. And they've really blown out their coverage. It's almost like what most programs have done with their support staff. That if you were at the Athletic originally, I mean, there was a lot of good college football coverage, but I remember the first time I went, I got the whatever the 7-day or 30-day trial was. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to give them $60 so I can read Stuart Mandel write about Ohio State. I don't know if I'm going to pay them $60 so I can read somebody write about, you know, Pac-12 overview. And they had started adding school-specific writers. And the men and women they got there, they started kind of fleshing that out. And now it's just about any program you'd want. Like I said, it's really good stuff. And we used to talk to Aaron all the time back in the day, but loved having him on as well. All right, we're going to break, come back, wrap it up for the day, wrap it up for the week. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's our offensive line. I mean, we have a really young group. I think we've got 16 guys on scholarship and 13 of them are freshmen and sophomores. So, you know, we got one senior in Matt Bockhorst, and we got, a couple of juniors, and the rest of those guys are freshmen and sophomores. So we were really, really young last year.
And not as good as we were used to them being. That was Dabo Swinney talking with Mark Packer on the ACC Network about his offensive line. And that's actually something that we have discussed here, that it just wasn't what it was supposed to be last year for Dabo and Clemson, and particularly up front. And I think people forget, it just got lost in the mix, how good their offensive line had been during so many of those championship runs. And so it fell off last year, and they weren't quite as disruptive up front on defense. Why? Well, they were playing some young guys. What did Dabo just say? He's like, well, we got one old guy and we got some young guys. And so that is absolutely always it's always an issue for you when you're rebuilding and you have championship goals. And at Clemson, you know that's what it is. All right, Dan Matthews is going to pop in here in just a couple of minutes. But right now, I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
I'm an idea man. And they're not always gold, but we're just spitballing, folks. And I have drilled down quite a bit with Dave Bartu on trying to help what I've identified as the worst program in Division I, and that's going back their entire history. That's UTEP. I think I'm going to go to the second worst, certainly bottom five, in their history. And I've got an idea that could perhaps be a game changer. Now, there is some built-in risk. But UNLV's been playing football since 1968. It's not a long history. UNLV, it was opened as basically a city school, a commuter school. It was a community college. And they started football in 1968, so they don't have a long history. They've only been to four bowl games. So there's no history of accomplishment. And here's the tough part. There are players not only out west, not only in Nevada, especially per capita, folks specifically, there are ball players in Las Vegas. Now, what there aren't are even passable facilities, at least on campus or associated with the program. What is everybody doing right now? I just mentioned it. Clemson spent $55 million on their football-only facility. Georgia spent $80. Auburn spent $91. Somebody's going to spend $100, $110 pretty soon. And what's going to happen is they're going to have an even bigger, better, nicer facility. And I've told you, at Clemson's, we all know and we all saw the story when it came out. They got a slide. They got a putt-putt course. South Carolina's got a recording studio. Alabama's got a barber shop. Why do you have all these things? It's not because South Carolina players need a recording studio or Alabama players have never been able to figure out where to get a good haircut. You put all this stuff in the football facility so that your players have no reason that they have to leave. It's not to suit their needs. It's to keep them under thumb. You know what UNLV ought to do? They ought to move the football team into a resort. Move them into one of the casino resorts on the strip, downtown. I don't care. They're begging for occupancy. It's the ultimate football facility. Move them in. Take over two floors. You got everything on. Now, there are some inherent risks. But Mandalay Bay, when it was built in 1999, it was $1 billion then. You've got the Raiders Stadium, for instance, where you're going to play right across the street from Mandalay, the back street, not the front one. The front one's the Strip. I'm telling you, or maybe it's the, what is it, the Rio that's on, or the Palms that's on the backside of the stadium there. You've got options, man. And you've got occupancy issues. There is a casino resort in Las Vegas close to the Raiders Stadium where you're going to say, you know what? Yeah, here are two floors. Here's the dining options. Here's the recreation. Here's the physical therapy. Here's the medical. Here, you can move everything in there. Now, is this going to happen? Absolutely not. But not because it's not a good idea. It's not going to happen for the same reason that we just saw the NFL get through an entire regular season without missing one game, and they played their championship game in full on the scheduled date. And college football, you could barely get divisions winding their way through their regular season schedules. The difference is because nobody in college is willing to take the same risk because of strictly PR issues. The NFL played their whole season. College was trying to deal with the optics of having a student body. I'm telling you, this is doable. It just won't get done. All right, I'm out of music. That's my closing argument. Brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Dan Matthews, what up?
I'm sad now.
About?
Because now I have Vegas in my mind, and I have Bloody Marys and sports books and everything.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to do that,
man? Yeah.
Soon enough, we'll be there. Soon enough. I'm going to try to pick us up, though, because to take one of your lines, I can see the future. And that is, this NFL draft, I believe, is only the beginning for the future of the quarterback position in the NFL. And it's going to be college, not the pros, that are setting the tone. Here's what I mean. The pro-style formation. That's almost now, Chuck, like almost like saying, I don't even know, like fire in a movie theater.
It's the unscouted look.
It is the unscouted look. But in terms of the fan base and everybody who looks at an offensive scheme, you say pro-style, it's immediately, like I said, it's going to clear out the building because everybody's going to be so disgusted with you that you're even mentioning that. You know where the pro-style is going to be showcased now, Chuck? I always tell people this now. Go to the old timers game at the spring game for your favorite university. That's where you're going to start to see it because we're going to be seeing more and more of the RPO scheme and everything else that really came from high school, infiltrated college, became it in college, and is now starting to show itself in the pros. And it leads me to the next part where in Major League Baseball, it was probably the turn of the century where 99, 2000, where $100 million contracts were being handed out to everybody. It was Mike Piazza. You get 6 years, $100 million. Mike Cameron, not to say that they weren't good players. They were very good players.
Kevin Brown got $105 million, and the Dodgers were bidding against the Dodgers.
Proof positive right there. Now we are not seeing that as much in Major League Baseball. As a matter of fact, Chuck, we're about a week out from the start of spring training, and there are still a handful of very good Major League Baseball players who are free agents, and that just proves the point that's going to even lead to what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago with quarterbacks in the NFL, that you're going to start seeing NFL teams who are not willing to pay the huge dollars to keep their quarterbacks because they're saying to themselves, why am I going to give Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, or Kirk Cousins this money and get just basically, I mean, good production out of them, not great. You need great production if you're going to win a Super Bowl, and you need great production out of the college game now, out of the quarterback position, if you're going to win a college football playoff. I think you're going to see more and more, even after this year, when the quarterback class is not as great in the draft, you're going to see NFL GMs say, do I want to pay that guy $130 million over 6 years, or do I want to spin the wheel, develop this guy, have what he used in college and did it very well, and take my lumps that way, even if it's just for a year or two.
Yeah, I agree with a large part of what you're saying, and there's no disrespect because these guys got rings. I mean, Jay Barker and Craig Krenzel, I mean, those don't look like national championship quarterbacks today, and it used to be they could because we were going to run the ball, play defense, be very efficient, don't turn the ball over. And that's not a path that anybody's really taken, certainly not in Division One. So, Dan, good stuff, man. David, great week. Appreciate everybody listening. All right, I'm going to take a couple days. I'm going to recharge those batteries. I will be back on Monday with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.